Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't got a dime to my name. What a terrible shame. Ho hum. Ho ho hum. Just found a hole in my shoe when my stocking shows through. Ho hum. Ho ho hum. I know that when you're as free as a bird in a tree, life is a wonderful whim. Look at the crank with his dough in the bank. Don't you feel sorry for him? Rolling along at a loss, never gathering moss. Ho hum, ho 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 hum. No terrific success, I ought to worry, I guess. Ho hum, ho ho hum. I like a shady old tree. What's the matter with me? Ho hum, ho ho hum. There's nothing quite as grotesque as a man at a desk, looking outside at the sun. Shirts made of silk and a diet of milk. Maybe he thinks he has fun. I've got the vagabond itch. I guess I'll never get rich. Ho hum. Ho 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 ho
ho ho ho ho ho ho hum indeed. James Vlasic here, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, here live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when we do that mess. And we have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. And you can go there. And basically what that is your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio on the internet today, or yesterday, or tomorrow. It's just, you can't do any better than that. It's the place you need to be, and ACP is proud and humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. Mojo50.com. Well, they go on vacation, a taxpayer-funded vacation, by the way, and they come back. The Democrat peck sniffs, and the king of the Democrat judiciary peck sniffs, Jerry the Jowls Nadler, doubling down, tripling, quadrupling, pentupling, sextupling down on the collusion. Well, not necessarily so much on the collusion, but you know, on there's a massive cover up. We've got to look at everything, and they're just investigating everything, because they're not interested in doing what's good for the country. What they're interested in is destroying Donald Trump and destroying his presidency. So today, the The House Judiciary Committee, under the chairmanship of Democrat Jerry the Jowls Nadler subpoenaed Corey Lewandowski. Now, Corey Lewandowski is on campaign cats for Donald Trump. And, you know, they sweated everybody else. It was Lewandowski and some other guy. I can't remember. I got a couple of clips. The first clip is Jim Jordan. No, what we're going to do, some guy named Hakeem Jeffries. And Hakeem Jeffries is a Democrat peck sniff on the Judiciary Committee. And he's one of the guys, and he's a mid-level guy. He's I think he's Muslim or has strong Muslim sympathies. Anyway, he's got his marching orders. He's been given a list of questions, which are going to be his shots when he has his 5 minutes. And you guys know how the committee hearings go. You get subpoenaed in front of them or invited to testify. If you're Corey Lewandowski, you get invited to testify. If you're Chris, you get subpoenaed to testify. If you're Christine Blasey Ford, you get invited to testify. So Corey Lewandowski is invited to testify. And here's a little bit of the interchange between Lewandowski. I loved it. I really like this guy after hearing it. Lewandowski and Hakeem Jeffries. Listen up. This is great.
Okay, let's try to get some clarity on what exactly you do for Donald Trump since you're not a government employee. You stated during the 2016 Republican National Convention that I got the reputation as a tough guy. That's my reputation. Do you recall making that statement, Mr. Lewandowski?
I don't.
Okay. It's in the public record. Your job is to be Donald Trump's political enforcer, correct?
No, I don't believe so.
Let me ask the question another way. Are you the hitman, the bagman, the lookout, or all of the above?
I think I'm the good-looking man, actually.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Cor. Good one, babe. I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. Proud of you. And it's It's laughable now. It's laughable. I mean, they're surrounded by reporters and news cameras and microphones and these guys like Jordan. He's one of ours. News Nadler and this other guy, Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries, and any of the notables that are Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee. They're all so, you know, they're all so serious, and we're going to get him. And, you know, how many times did Adam Schiff guarantee us evidence of collusion? And we've never seen it, and we never will see it, because there never was any evidence of collusion, obviously. But also on these committees, which adds, I think, to the entertainment value, and that's all this is, guys. There's no substance here. Was Corey Lewandowski, and I can't for the life of me remember the other cat's name, but it doesn't matter. Fundamentally, the guy they were looking for, or the guy they were wanting to skewer, I should say, is Corey Lewandowski. But these committees, you know, they're made up of Democrats and Republicans. Everybody's got 5 minutes, and a lot of it is grandstanding, and you can usually tell whether or not a hearing which has been ballyhooed in the press or has been talked up on the alphabet news networks as a big deal. If you don't have anything else to do with your life, like me, and you sit around and you watch these things, and I try not to watch much of it, you know, because I really don't want to get I'm prone myself to becoming completely wrapped up in this kind of stuff. So and you know, to a certain extent, you've got to embed yourself immerse yourself in it kind of deep if I'm going to know what the hell I'm talking about and I share it with you guys. So, you know, you get kind of in it, but I've also found that there is a self-care element to this kind of thing, and you got to step away from it every now and then. And so I don't always watch it, but I do hit the highlights. And one of the best ones that's trending right now is Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is a Republican, and he's a go-getter from Ohio in the House of Representatives. And he figured prominently in the judiciary hearings concerning Robert Mueller and all the other guys that we've played clips of. And not dead air. I'm just kind of I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say what I'm going to say next. Guys like Jordan, guys like Jim Jordan, guys like Matt Gaetz, guys like that dude from Dan Childers, I think is his name, from Texas, who was in line to be selected for National Security Administration until Hydra decided he wasn't a good idea. There are all these go-getters. And are they presidential timber? No, but we don't necessarily need them to be presidential timber. We need go-getters. We need guys that are going to be taking it to the Democrats right here in these arenas, like the Judiciary Committee. Well, like I said, everybody gets 5 minutes, and you can always tell if it's theater, if there's a lot of grandstanding, if the questions are, you know, provocative, and by that, I mean, not really necessarily looking to get at the truth, but just they're sensational. They're sensational questions. They titillate, just like what Hakeem Jeffries was doing there. You know, are you the hitman? Are you the bad dude? Are you the hatchet man? All this mess. No, I'm the handsome man. That's great. I really like that a lot. But you can tell that it's theater. And even Lewandowski knows that this is theater. He was confident, and they really didn't do much to him. They had the lawyers that were asking the questions, though, this lawfare group, David Bromwich, he was Christine Blasey Ford's lawyer. And what these guys are, they're former Hydra operatives from within government, Department of Justice, FBI types lawyers, who have formed this left-wing cabal and are trying to, through legal means, infect and weaken our court systems, even our Supreme Court system. And so these were the guys that were there to try and ask. And there's nothing their thinking is, if you throw enough poop on the wall, some of it is bound to stick. And so far, it's a Teflon wall, really. I mean, it's just and they can't get anything. They can't get anything because there's nothing going on. And Jim Jordan also knows this. And there are a lot of Republicans who know this. So it's going to break down into friendly, unfriendly. Democrats are going to be very unfriendly. They're going to sound friendly. But they're looking to chop this dude up. And the Republicans, fundamentally guys like Jordan, they're going to be friendly to Lewandowski. They know that this is all blah, blah, yakety schmackety. And so this is where they have their forum to point that out. And in this next clip, that's what Jordan does. And this is from today, Ohio Representative Jim Jordan in his 5 minutes with Corey Lewandowski and stuff.
The Republican nomination.
Yes.
Pretty good campaign you ran.
Thank you.
I mean, you beat, what, 17, 18 different opponents, senators, governors, some good senators. Of course, you had a pretty good candidate.
The best.
Pretty good candidate. I think he's done a great job as president of the United States. After you left the campaign, I think you left in June of 2016, after you left the head of the campaign, were you still involved with the campaign throughout the rest of the election, all the way up through November 8th, 2016?
Yes.
In that entire time. So you were part of the campaign operation at some level or another from January 2015 to November 8, 2016. During that entire time, did you guys ever work with Russia to impact the election?
No.
And you know what's interesting, Mr. Lewandowski? When Jim Comey was asked that same question, sitting at that same table, he gave the same answer. When Bob Mueller was asked that same question, sitting at that same table, he gave the same answer. Falsely accused. The president is falsely accused of colluding with a foreign state to impact the election. Jim Comey, when we deposed him at that very table, said after 10 months of investigation, we didn't have a thing. Bob Mueller gets named special counsel. He wastes $30 million of taxpayer money, 22-month investigation. He sits at that table just a few weeks ago and gives the same darn answer. These guys over here, they don't care. They don't care. They don't want to get to what Mr. Chavez said. They don't want to figure out how the false accusation happened. They just want to drag people in front of this committee and keep trying to find some way they can go after the president. Let's go back to the process that the ranking member raised. Did you testify in front of the Senate Intel Committee in 2017?
Yes.
Did you testify in front of the House Intelligence Committee in 2017?
Yes.
And you went before the special counsel and answered his questions in 2018, is that right?
It is.
And you did that all voluntarily?
Yes.
No subpoena?
No, sir.
You said, I'm willing to comply, give answers, answer all the questions you got?
Yes.
I think in your opening statement you said 20-something. How many hours did you sit in front of those various committees?
More than 20.
More than 20 hours. And for this committee, did you get a letter from this committee back in March asking you to comply with certain document requests that Chairman Nadler wanted to have?
I believe so, yes.
And you and your legal team complied with that?
Yes, sir.
And then on June 24th, you got another letter, is that right?
Yes.
June 24th of this year, you got another letter asking you to do an interview, a transcribed interview, in front of the committee. And your lawyer contacted Chairman Nadler and said, we'd be happy to do that. Is that right?
Yes.
Said, give us some dates. We'll come in. We'll be happy to sit for an interview.
That's right.
What happened next?
Next, about 5 weeks ago, the committee issued a subpoena for my appearance.
So you're willing to come voluntarily, just like you did with Senate Intel, House Intel, just like you did for Bob Mueller, for the special counsel, 20-some hours. You're willing to do that all. You complied with when they asked you for certain documents, and then when they want you to come in for an interview, you said, all right, sure, we'll do it. They hit you with a subpoena.
Correct.
And then they start calling you names, saying, close up that book, answer the question, start treating you this way. Kind of interesting. They're the ones that started it. They're the ones that slapped you with a subpoena when you were willing to come here voluntarily.
I was.
And then they question what the demeanor you bring here today. I mean, first they changed the rules last week in the middle of the Congress, changed the rules of the committee in the middle of the game, and then today they're not even going to follow the rules because the rules they changed last week talk about staff asking questions after members are done. We got this whole issue with consultants. So this, maybe we would be better served if we did exactly what Mr. Chabot said. Maybe we would be better served as the House Judiciary Committee if we actually focused on how this whole false accusation started in the first place. What do you think, Mr. Lewandowski?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Great idea. Maybe the American people would be better served than spending more time investigating something that's already had 32 months of investigation from both Jim Comey and the FBI and Bob Mueller and the special counsel. Maybe we would do that. And you know a great place to start? Great place to start, Mr. Chairman. I asked you about this 1 week ago today. Great place to start would be the Inspector General's report that was issued just 3 weeks ago, the scathing report about Jim Comey. That'd be a nice place to start. But when I asked the chairman when we might have an opportunity to question Mr. Horowitz, he said, I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Of course you haven't thought about that. Too busy trying to impeach the president. Too busy slapping subpoenas on Corey Lewandowski. Of course you haven't thought about that. That's what the committee should be focused on. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. The gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lewandowski, you are about like a fish being cleaned with...
Over 20 hours, in front of these various headhunting committees, voluntarily... provided documentation when asked, said he would come in and talk to these guys voluntarily. Because, you know, obviously, dude doesn't have anything to hide. But they turned the invitation into a subpoena, and they start acting like jerks because they're wanting to sweat somebody. They're wanting to break somebody. But the problem is none of these cats are breakable per se when it comes to this issue, because none of these guys have done anything wrong. Now, the Democrats, see, they know this. They know this. But they don't care. Because they think that with the help of the of their propaganda arm, which is, of course, the establishment media, if they keep this story, if they keep this mess in front of the public eye until election time, well, conceivably, it could adversely affect the president. There would be a lot of fatigue with this whole deal. Democrats, I don't know if they're – I don't know where they're going to get their votes. I really don't. But what they're banking on is having this mess, and I don't know what else to call it, because as soon as this is done, they're going to drag up something else. They're already digging up the grave, the confirmation grave of Brett Kavanaugh, the New York Times, all the news that rhymes with fit to print, and they're going to start, they're going to try and do impeachment proceedings on Brett Kavanaugh, for crying out loud. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So they're looking to break somebody, but they can't because there's nobody here to break. But they're not going to be deterred. They're not going to be discouraged by this. They're looking at a long game. And a long game is this. We just keep this out there. We just keep it out there. And if it's not this, it's something else. We just make it look like Donald Trump is the biggest crook on earth. Never mind that we, the Democrats, are actually the biggest crooks on earth. We're just going to let it look like Donald Trump is. And the hope is that people will turn. That Donald Trump supporters will get tired, they'll get worn out, they'll I don't think they're going to be persuaded, and I don't think they're going to get tired, and I don't think they're going to get fatigued or worn out with any of this. I think all it does, just as it did during the Hillary Clinton campaign, is simply steal the president's supporters. It steals their resolve. It braces them to the task ahead. And if you've noticed the polls, Elizabeth Warren's, she's surging. Joe Biden beats Donald Trump in 1-to-1 contest in shove it up your O-ring, Philadelphia, or your Pennsylvania, whatever. It doesn't matter. And they're doing the same thing that they've done. And I don't understand it. There was nothing learned. They're oversampling polls. You know, they're going to poll 1,500 people, but they're going to make sure that 1,200 of those people or 1,000 of those people are going to be Democrats. They're going to be Trump haters. And they're going to, well, does Trump deserve a second term? Well, hell no. He shouldn't have got the first term. We hate his gut. And that's what it's going to be. And it's this, and what they're doing, they're whistling past the graveyard. These polls are how the Democrats are whistling past the graveyard of Donald Trump's reelection. Now, that doesn't mean his reelection is dead or it is a dying thing or it's not going to happen. What that means is they're whistling past this graveyard because they are horrified at the idea of him rising up out of this grave of slander and smear and false allegations and bad accusations and all this crazy stuff that they've tried to bury this guy alive with. And he's going to reach out from underneath all that stuff and he's going to snatch them up. So they have these oversampled polls that say that Trump's on his last legs, that I know Gary's listening. No, Gary, I'm not going to play it. And you know where I was thinking about it. Donald Trump is finished. It's over. It's over. but it's not. It's just getting started. It's just getting started. And these things that these guys are doing, it's not going to work again. That's what I, and again, it to a certain, and I'm not really complaining. Don't get me wrong, because so far everything they've done at this point in the Democrat campaign for whoever is going to win the nomination for the Democrats is the same thing that they did the last time in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. She was a shoo-in, remember? She was going to win it. He wasn't going to get a single vote, either throughout the country or in the Electoral College. She's just going to close him down. Man, it was going to be a slam dunk. But then came about 9:30, 10 o'clock election night, and it didn't work out. And in a fit of rage, Hillary Clinton, like most Democrats I've ever met, lacking the intellectual honesty to say, hey, I'm not a good person. I'm not likable. I'm not trustworthy. I really shouldn't be surprised that I wasn't a good candidate and that I lost this election. No, not her fault. It's not why she lost. She lost because of the damn Russians. And they were off to the races. Twenty-two veterans shoot themselves every day. They kill themselves every day, 22 on the average, because they've been abandoned by the Veterans Administration hospital groups. I've lost count of how many people have killed themselves in Chicago this year to date. I have no clue as to the numbers of American children, citizens, or youth who are homeless. Elderly who aren't properly cared for. A fundamentally porous border. And this is what they focus on. This is what they're wrapped around the axle about. Oh, Gary, you know what it is. It's that. When I said, you know, it's over, Trump is finished, it had to do with that clip, that three-minute clip I've got of everybody saying this, it's all over, the one you hate. And that's that's the one I was getting ready to play. But we hear it. We hear it all. We've heard it all the time, and I'm not going to play it. And they're still trying to say that it's done. And again, this is nothing more down the bottom there. This is nothing more than the Democrats and the establishment media and all the Never Trumpers whistling past that graveyard. I think I have a very, very good idea what's going to be happening in the next couple of years. Now, again, a couple of John Ratcliffe, that's who I was talking about earlier from Texas. This thing is going to play, and it's going to twist, and it's going to turn literally, I think, right up to Election Day. I think that basically, I think that the president is two steps ahead of these cats all the way. Now, whether he's successful, because Hydra is a big organization, and it's going to take somebody at least two steps ahead of them all the way in order to defeat their nefarious plans for world domination. And it's going to take more than Donald Trump. It's going to take all of us. And, you know, this dude has picked up the colors. He's the vanguard. He's the spearhead. He is leading the way. And we need to be no less than one step behind him. and we need to be ready to back him up. You're listening to A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you can go. Or, you know, we've got links sprinkled all over social media. You can hit it there. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be back with more of A Conservative's Perspective right after this brief musical interlude. See you on the other side.
Do that. I come back to New Orleans, cause that's the only place I've been. Where the girls so thick and sweet, feels like loving arms around me. Lazy trees and ocean breeze, rainy evenings listening. The music oozing out of every door. It's like my heaven made to order inside the border of the quarter. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before. I used to watch and wonder at the ones who sing the blues and try to find out why they want to get so low. But even though I can't explain it now, I join them when they're singing. And when the song is over, there's a lot so low. There's something about the way the women walk in New Orleans. Or maybe it's just me, cause I'm in love with all I've seen there. Bedroom by the balcony, laughter lifting from the street, forgetting what my pocket watch is for. It's like my heaven made to order inside the border of the quarter. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before. Get so low. But even though I can't explain it now, Johnny when it's singing, and when the song is over, God, Lord, oh Lord, I'll come back to New Orleans, cause that's the only place I've been. It's so thick and sweet, it feels like loving arms around me. Lazy trees and ocean breeze, rainy evenings listening to music oozing out of every door. It's like my heaven made the order, side the border of the trouble. Lord, ain't no place like I've ever been before.
And everything nice depends on you. Whose honey are you? Who's dreaming completely? Who goes for those eyes that kiss on fire? Whose honey are you? You got a tiny little bit of heaven in your fingertips. You got a rest of heaven on your sugar coated lips. Who's gonna get you some Sunday go meeting? Whose little heart needs what's for keeping? Whose honey are you? Thank you. little bit of heaven in your fingertips. You got rest of heaven, honey, sugar-coated lips. Who's gonna get you some sign to go meeting? Whose little heart leaves once for keeps? Honey, are you?
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
It's a bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end.
All right. Barely 30 seconds, Gary. Don't get excited. But this is what we've heard. This is what we've heard. 2 years. It's coming. All right. I don't think so, but cool. I really don't think it's going to get anywhere. And I don't know how much. I would love to know just how much these hearings cost. Mueller spent about $30 bazillion, according to Jim Jordan. And every time they have these hearings, I'm just wondering how much of a boondoggle, how much they're soaking me and you, the taxpayers, you know, what they're taking us for. But we do have some positive in a way. I'm going to tamp down a whole lot of enthusiasm for this. But last week, U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Jesse Liu, indicated that he was going to indict Andrew McCabe. And to go back in time, Andrew McCabe was deputy director of the FBI and head of the counterintelligence program there, I think, under James Comey. During the early days of this whole collusion thing, McCabe leaked some memorandums, some information to, I don't want to call them journalists, but writers, we'll say that, for the New York Times. And then it came out that this was leaked from the FBI, and McCabe, knowing that he leaked it, called the New York, busted the chops on the New York City field office for the FBI, accusing one of those guys of leaking this story. So he ran them over the coals for it, and that got in the news. But these guys didn't have anything in the world to do with it. It was McCabe all the time. Well, anyway, eventually it all comes out. It all comes out, and the way that they say you're a lying SOB in FBI's is that he lacked candor. In other words, he was not honest. He did not tell the truth. He's a lying SOB. So this is pretty serious stuff for the Bureau. They don't like this kind of thing. Even though the upper levels of leadership within the Federal Bureau of Investigation are irretrievably, incorrigibly corrupt, they can't be changed. They still have an image of being Dudley Do-Right types, and so this stuff is taken very seriously. So two days. Before homeboy gets his retirement and cashes in, Jeff Sessions says, you're fired. We're not going to give you a pension. You don't get anything. Suck it and roll out. Well, and so far, there have been people who have been demoted. There have been people who have retired. There have been people who have been reassigned. There have been people who have resigned, and nobody got poop canned the way Andy did. As a matter of fact, while Andy is getting fired and being disgraced as an FBI agent, and you know, which is now a disgraced FBI deputy director, Andy McCabe is what we're talking about now. And to add to that disgrace, he takes he's in line to take up a contributor's job, a spokeshead job at CNN. God, talk about adding insult to injury, son of a. So, you know, and so on the heels of CNN rolling him out as one of their latest contributors, along with that other lion commie SOB, John Brennan, who, by the way, in 1976 voted for the Communist Party USA's candidate Gus Hall for president and winds up director of Central Damn Intelligence. Tell me how that, well, I know, we all know it out. Barack Obama, commie Muslim, set him up to do it. So based on some of the things that have been revealed through Freedom of Information Act disclosures, and Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch is doing a bang up job on that, it's been decided, excuse me, that they're going to go ahead and indict old boy. They got a criminal referral. Now, here's the big question. At the time that Andy McCabe is getting fired, losing his pension, being disgraced, James Comey's on a book tour. He's making the rounds, man. He's going to bookstores. He's going on TV. He's making more money. He's got a pension. So the talk was they're going to indict. And so there was an appeal written by the legal team for former director Andrew McCabe. And they shot it down. So charges more than likely, the way it's looking, if they haven't been, they are probably in the process of being filed against a documented liar, leaker, and a co-conspirator, an active co-conspirator in the attempted coup against duly elected President Donald Trump. And this puts Hydra in a face-to-face confrontation with what could potentially be, and let's not get excited, but could potentially be legal Armageddon. An indictment of Andrew McCabe will leave him with no excuse to not carry out his threat to bring them all down with him. Before he was fired, McCabe sent a shot across the bow of his co-conspirators in this plot, number one, to keep Hillary Clinton out of prison, and number two, Donald Trump out of the White House. And according to Fox News correspondent Adam Housley, based on a series of tweets that the Gateway Pundit picked up at the time of the firing, here's what Housley said. His sources were telling him, and again, we're going back about a year and a half, 2 years to the time of the firing, when Andy McCabe was fired. At that time, Housley's sources were telling him that in the past few days leading up to McCain's termination, to his fire, McCabe's firing, he had threatened to, quote, take people down with him if he was fired. And over that time, I said, you know, I'm told yesterday, Housley said, that McCabe felt the heat and went to try to save his last 2 days, and even told some people he would take people down with him if he was fired. So let's see what comes of this. And I know this, said Housley, a ton of agents, a ton. We're watching this very closely. Now, he probably means, you know, a lot of FBI agents, not simply just 2,000 pounds of them, because that'd be like 30 guys and you got it. He lied. said Sarah Carter. And she's been working on this with John Solomon for a while. Plain and simple, Eli. A lot of former FBI agents that she spoke to said that they hope he was fired. Well, is he going to get fired today? Is he going to get fired today? Is it today? That's all she kept hearing, because they realized, these FBI agents, that if it had been one of them, if it had been one of the rank and file guys from the field office from somewhere out there across the fruited plain, they would have been fired. They would have been so fired. And you have all these different investigations that are going on right now. You've got, well, Michael Horowitz, the inspector general at the Department of Justice, has got his wrapped up, and we should be seeing the results of that here in a week or so. There's a prosecutor looking into the unmasking, the FISA abuse that's been taking place with Carter Page in particular. So, and you've got John Huber, who was looking at stuff out in Little Rock with the Clinton Foundation. So there are a number of investigations, and Andrew McCabe probably factors prominently in no shortage of them, and he was worried. If I go down, he said, I'm taking everybody else with me. McCabe was at the heart of all the criminal activity, and he knows where the bodies were buried. Now, his silence up till now may be traced to the fact that, to this point, no one's actually been held accountable, and that's an easy indictment of his boss, book tour veteran James Comey. You know, he was bypassed. A very easy indictment was bypassed. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they may have something bigger in the wings waiting for Comey. And that's entirely possible. I've heard that. I've heard that particular school of thought in a lot of different places, and I've read it in a lot of different venues. I'm not exactly sure. We'll see. But this easy indictment of James Comey was passed up. McCabe, newly minted at CNN as one of their news analysts, filling the chair that was recently vacated by creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti. I hope they wiped that off. So McCabe gets to get on camera with buddy John Brennan at CNN, the poster child for fake news. Lack of candor, as we discussed before, about leaking to the press is the least of Andrew McCabe's worries. McCabe is a signatory to at least one of the FISA applications requesting surveillance of American citizens, namely Team Trump during the campaign. His signature was his affirmation that the information in that application, based largely on the Steele dossier paid for by Team Hillary and the Democrat National Committee and compiled from Russian sources by a British agent, was accurate and verified. The FISA warrant he signed was a fraud committed on the court. Not dead air. The Steele dossier, despite McCabe's prior obfuscations, was acquired illegally. Money was laundered through a law firm, Perkins Coie, to a dirt-gathering opposition research firm, Fusion GPS, to a foreign agent, Christopher Steele, to Russian sources making most of the stuff up because Steele is spreading cash around over there like Grant took Richmond. The fact that this transaction went through multiple hands does not make it any more legal. Rather, it just makes the coming indictment longer. McCabe, the man he worked for, James Comey, and the people who worked under McCabe, like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, then took this fruit of foreign interference in our election and used it to commit fraud upon the FISA court to trigger the illegal surveillance of one political campaign by another political campaign with the aid of co-conspirators at the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That Andrew McCabe himself was a key architect of this coup is found in the texts of FBI agent Peter Strzok, who speaks of the plan hatched in, quote, Andy's office to stop Trump at all costs, with this end justifying any and all means. Now, out of all the damning politically charged anti-Trump text messages that were released, one text from Peter Strzok to Lisa Page on August 15, 2016, raised the most suspicion, and it referred to a conversation and a meeting that had just taken place in Andes, widely believed to be Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe's office. According to Representative Jim Jordan, our man, Strzok texted this: "I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, there's no way he gets elected. I want to believe that, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. We have to do something about it." In another text, Lisa Page said, "Maybe you're meant to stay where you are because you're meant to protect the country from that menace." Strzok replied, "I can protect our country at many levels. I'm not sure if that helps." I'm sorry. Jim Jordan tells us that this, what we hear this back and forth here, this goes to intent. We can't take the risk that the people of this great country might elect Donald Trump. We can't take this risk. This is Peter Strzok, head of counterintelligence at the FBI. This is Peter Strzok, who I think had a hand in that dossier that was all dressed up and taken to the FISA court. He's saying we can't take the risk. We have to do something about it. McCabe himself said under oath he could not verify the accuracy of virtually anything in the dossier, and has acknowledged that without the salacious and unverified document, as James Comey once described it, no investigation of Team Trump would have occurred. Then there's the case of Michael Flynn. The unmasking of Flynn in the Russia probe may indeed be retaliation against Flynn for perceived political sins, but not for what and by whom you might think. If reports from investigative watchdog site Circa News are correct, it explains, and you need to go check, that's a great site too. It explains why McCabe would entrap Flynn in a seemingly harmless interview about contacts that Flynn made with Flynn's Russian counterparts, advising Flynn, "Hey, you don't need to bring a lawyer into any of this to complicate things." And John Solomon, Sarah Carter, of course, over at Circa News reported this. They say the FBI launched a criminal probe against former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn 2 years after the retired Army general roiled the Bureau's leadership by intervening on behalf of a decorated counterterrorism agent who accused now Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, wow, there's that name again, and other top officials of sexual discrimination, according to documents and interviews. Flynn's intervention on behalf of Supervisory Special Agent Robin Gritz was highly unusual and included a letter in 2014 on his official Pentagon stationery, a public interview in 2015 supporting Gritz's case, and an offer to testify on her behalf. His offer put him as a hostile witness in a case against Andrew McCabe, who was at that time soaring through the Bureau's leadership ranks. Well, the FBI sought to block Flynn's support for this agent, and they asked a federal administrative law judge to keep Flynn and others from becoming a witness in her EEOC case, memos obtained by Circa News show. 2 years later, after Michael Flynn, or after General Flynn went to bat for this counterterrorism agent, which would have made Andy McCabe look bad, the FBI opens its inquiry into Flynn. McCabe eventually becomes the Bureau's number two executive and emerges as a central player in the FBI's Russia election tampering investigation, putting him in a position to impact the criminal inquiry against Flynn. Three FBI employees told Circa News they personally witnessed McCabe make disparaging remarks about Flynn before and during the time the retired general emerged as a figure in the case. Andy McCabe should not be on national TV. He should not be a pundit, even if it is CNN, calling for Trump's impeachment. He should be preparing his legal defense against indictments that can't come a moment too soon. And we should be prepared for McCabe's threat to be carried out, to bring them all down. We may yet find out what really happened in Andy's office. Okay, we got 5 minutes left. Not dead air, just thinking things over. I think we're going to go ahead and close up shop on it. It's been a long day, kind of tired, kind of sore. Have enjoyed the time that I've spent here with you. We'll just go ahead and wrap it up. We're going to have some more on this in terms of Andy McCabe and what's going on with his legal defense team on Thursday when we come back with ACP. And again, we do it live two nights a week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays, here at blogtalkradio.com under the auspices of the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I think that's about it. Now, we have a recorded version of the show, of course, at mojo50.com. You can go there. It's your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio on the internet today. Thanks so much for the opportunity to hang out with you, share some of this stuff. It's going to get bigger. It's going to grow. You know, it's like a soap opera now. What's that guy, Andy Cohen? Is he the dude that does the after shows with all the Real Housewives and all those bitches? Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like reviewing all this stuff. Anyway, we will be back Thursday here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. Until then, my friends, once again, thank you for the chance to hang out and talk with you a little bit. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you on Thursday. Take care.